Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Minister Harris.
I'm here.
I don't know what happened to it. Hold on.
Okay.
Maybe she's having problems on her end.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, she put on some music.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to Words from the Word. We did have technical difficulties this morning, Minister Pat. It wouldn't let us get off of mute. The enemy That's okay. That's okay, because you spoke what it was, and it just, what do they call it, expose the enemy, and we finally got the phone to let us get off of mute because we will not be silenced in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us and to sharing. And that song, I thank God for it because I was trying to fill the airtime as I was attempting to get off of mute. But that song I wasn't really familiar with, but that's the song that was able to click and come on. And God has a way of doing what he does so beautifully because that song is so descriptive of my promise that I got out of First Chronicles 17:19-20 out of the TLB version. And so I will read it. It says, O Lord, you have given me these wonderful promises just because you want to be kind to me. Because of your own great heart, O Lord, there is no one like you. There is no other God. In fact, we have never even heard of another God like you. He is greater, greater than all. And outside of the Old Testament and out of the New Testament, coming from 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, and we will never stop thanking God for this, that when we preach to you, you didn't think of the words we spoke as being just our own, but you accepted what we said as the very word of God, which, of course, it was, and it changed your life when you believe. Hallelujah. What do you believe? So we do. We stand on these promises. We are searching each book of the Bible for the promise God has hidden in there for us and to be given to us in this season as we seek absolute surrender. We can't do it on our own, in our own strength, in our own mind, and not even in the mind that we had when we first started this pursuit. But it is the renewing of our mind by the word of God. It is the faith fact that we collect along the way. I don't know how many people are familiar with the allegory of Much Afraid and the fact that as she went through the journey, she kept picking up little stones and putting them in a bag and carrying them with her. And that's what these faith facts are that we collect along the way. They're treasures. They're like jewels that are hidden that as we journey with him, he exposes them to us. And it may be something we've read before, seen before, heard before. And however, in this season, in this place, in this time, a most profound meaning and purpose for us. And so, well, the other thing, and I just love the consistency of God and how he so ministers to us, and there's a word for today that, you know, is shared with us on a regular basis that I want to share with you because today's topic is renewing your mind. It says, whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, think about these things. You live in a world where media directs your attention to what is false, degrading, wrong, impure, and ugly. Truth has been displaced by spin, and sensational stories attract advertisers. It is no accident that truth is the first adjective in this list of excellent qualities. Without truth, there is nothing worth pondering. That is why it's essential to fill your mind with Scripture, developing a biblical world view. I love this because this is the exact message that the apostle is teaching on Monday night. What is your biblical worldview? Even though there is no such brokenness in the world, even though there is so much brokenness in the world, you can still find much that is excellent or praiseworthy in it. Search for such things as for buried treasure. And I hadn't read this yet. When you unearth something lovely, meditate on it and praise me for it. Tell others about such things. Help them find beauty and meaning in their life. True, noble, admirable things can still be found in many places on earth, but they most abundantly are available in me. So I urge you to fix your thoughts on me as much as you can. Whisper my name to remind yourself that I am always within whispering distance. Whispering distance, I love it. That's the breath prayer. Breathe in the name of God and breathe out, you know, your communication with him. This is look at the world around you through eyes of gratitude. Thank me for the many good things you can see. Bring me your problem as well as your praises and watch me transform trouble into something praiseworthy. And this word is derived from words from the word in Philippians 4 and 8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble or right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about them. And then from Hebrews 3 and 1, therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. And then he shall call upon me, and he and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And so we thank God for the words from the word that comes in all different places and venues, and yet it makes us all one in Holy Spirit. Not just one in Holy Spirit, but one because Holy Spirit is at work, and he is doing the work in this dispensation. So I encourage you to share the promises that you've come up with for this week's faith journey. Your lines are open. You are free to share the scriptures
yes.
that are on your heart.
Yes. Give strength to all. This is from 1 Chronicles 29, 11 through 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor comes from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all.
Amen. 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 Good morning. Good morning to all.
Good morning.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Anybody else?
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning, Elder. How are you?
Someone else is speaking. They can go. I'll come behind him.
I didn't hear anybody else.
It was a man.
Oh.
Sir? It was a man. I don't know. Okay.
Well, you can go ahead. He can come. Mm-hmm. When you're done.
Okay.
He can go after you.
Mine is. Did you hear him? Okay.
No, actually, I
mine
didn't.
Is.
Okay.
Okay, mine is Psalms 37:28. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. And
amen.
The other one is Philippians 2:13-16. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Is there another?
Hold on.
Yes. We do understand it takes maybe 2 or 3 seconds to there's a delay. So don't be discouraged. You can just continue to talk. And it will, believe it or not, catch up with itself or catch up with us. Amen. Amen.
Amen. There is a gentleman online. I don't know what's happening, but I heard him several times.
Oh, okay. And he is free to speak. We thank God for those that come to share in the program. And like I say, just continue to talk. Because sometimes it's such a delay, you think you're interrupting someone, but you really aren't. So good morning to everyone. And I hope you paid attention to the promises that you have shared, because they're so in line with the renewing topic, I will say, that Holy Spirit is doing with our minds in this season through this book and through this particular chapter. And one of the things that I want us to be able to identify is his presence, his work. That's one of the things that this chapter is bringing to the forefront. We had in last week, We looked at the fruit of the Spirit of love. We understood that this was the very essence of who God is. It's his nature. It is God. And it is God that's in us that will perfect those things concerning us through this love, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first fruit that is mentioned is the fruit of love, and all things that come forth after that have to come through this love, because God is love, and that is what he has poured into his people. And so the last thing the author shared on last week was, do you have a lack of love to confess before God? Then make confessions and say before him, O Lord, my lack of heart, my lack of love, I confess it. And then as you cast that lack at his feet, believe that the blood cleanses you, that Jesus comes in his mighty cleansing, saving power to deliver you, and that he will give you his Holy Spirit. And remember, that was for the purpose of that love being intercession, being the intercession between the world and God, interceding for those who have no knowledge of his pure love. And as he makes it clear to us, we are to, with passion and purpose, intercede for that person, because God has placed that person in our life, or that situation has become known to us. And so this fruit of love is what will change everything. We're about to share with us, it is love that will cast out sin, because love hung on the cross. And because love will give itself wholly to the glory of God, that sin may no longer abound in the lives of one, each one of us. And so we start off this week with separated unto the Holy Spirit. Now, I personally became so enthralled with this lesson, mainly because of the ordination. And I think a lot of people on the line have either gone through the process, are going through the process, have heard about the process. And so as a result, there's always so many things that people question when we are preparing for the ordination. And yet I think this spells it out so clearly, and it's not like it's a scripture we haven't heard. So if someone can get Acts 13, 1 through 4, out of one of the more easy-read versions of the Bible, I would appreciate that. I'm going to read it out of this version that the author has that I pretty much think is probably King James, some standard. So it says now, we're talking about Acts 13, 1 through 4. Now in the church there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. I want you to hear that. Certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Syrian, Magnus, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. Now, we want to look at that. They were ministering to the Lord. And how many times do we hear people say, you know, well, this is what I do for God, and, you know, I'm in my purpose, and that sort of thing, and they're satisfied with that. I don't need a title, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, but remember here that the Lord is identifying individuals first by their title, then by their name. Okay? And so he says, and these were faithful men of God, knew God, knew the voice of Holy Spirit, because it then says, Holy Spirit said, now that's what you were doing. Now I need you to do something different. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they were sent away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia. And so we can see they had a ceremony. They definitely had an event that included fasting, praying, and laying on of hands. This is ordination. This is the preparation. This is the separating unto Holy Spirit certain individuals that have been given a new task, a different task. That the Holy Spirit, I think I love the way the author says, the Holy Spirit is the general, and he is building the army, and he has given everybody, I think he says, orders. And some of the orders are secret. Some of them you don't know what it is. I don't know what is ahead. But what we learn to do is to just, we got background noise.
Somebody,
you know, we don't know what. Yeah, background noise.
Somebody's
your phones on you. If you can put your phones on mute, unless you're ready to talk, then we would eliminate some of the background noise. Okay, thank you. So, we have this scenario being presented to us that Holy Spirit is in charge of this distance, of this dispensation. This work has been given to him to do. Bringing of the kingdom of God on earth in this time. time for us is the job has been given to Holy Spirit. Because if we remember, when Christ was leaving, he said, you can't do anything until Holy Spirit comes. Because he knew that that's who was given the ministry, the task. He was given the authority to bring heaven on earth. And he had the plan. He has the plan from the Father and the Son. And Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ tells us often that what Holy Spirit will do will be what he has heard and seen in heaven from the Father and the Son. And so as a result, we are being established, or Holy Spirit is being established in the heart of the, I'll call it the religious community, the family of God, and this is who is the general now. This is who you are to get into right relationship with in order to know what the will of God is. And if you're not in it, you won't find the will of God. You'll only find your own will. You'll only find that version of religious exercise and activities and rituals that take the place of the relationship that needs to now be established with Holy Spirit. I once so many years ago read a book by Benny Hinn, and it said, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." Totally changed my whole understanding, because so often Holy Spirit is the God that gives you the power to have things manifested here on earth, your anointing, your gifts, and this is truly part of what he does. And so often there are different manifestations that we are taught to look for, and that's by which we measure or assess the fact that Holy Spirit is indeed in operation in bringing this manifestation. But I love it because the author is pointing out another, and it's pointed out, but it's not emphasized, I think, the way it needs to be, even more than anointing your gifts. The job of Holy Spirit is to perfect your inner life, your private life. It is who should take first priority so that your thoughts and your words and your actions are then able to be imaged by Christ. The only way we get a mind that is renewed is through the power of Holy Spirit to bring holy living into our world through the saints that have been set aside unto him. Now, it's not that everybody is that's a child of God, but there are some that are given orders that cause them to come closer, that cause them to be privy to some very, or some spiritual information that everybody just doesn't have. And it is then going to be their responsibility to dispense this information. One of the things that I think we can see in this scenario was that these individuals were in the church. They were the apostles and the prophets and the teachers in the church, and they were praying and they were fasting. And there are those that is where their purpose presents itself for them. And there are those that have to be sent out. There are those that, like Paul and Saul and Barnabas, whose name was Paul, were sent to a new place to do a new thing. They weren't thinking about this area that they were being sent to. They weren't praying, "Oh, let's go over here." They had no thought of that. But those were in God's plan. And so God prepared people to go or have them. And that's the beautiful part of it. God could have did it without the church, without the prophets and the teachers and those that were in the church. But he used them because we are a family and because we need, and he wants us to understand our connection to one another, so that when one has to be called to go forth in another or in another way, then we are supporting that. We're praying and fasting for them, not questioning, well, why you got to do this or why you got to, because this is all God's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. And yet, is it really marvelous in our sight, or do we question it because we don't understand it, and we figure, well, you didn't tell me, and that isn't what I had to do, so how does that make what you need to do relevant? But what's marvelous in our sight is the thing that we don't see what God sees. And whenever he allows us to see what he is doing, we, because we have lifted him up and valued him and made him the number one priority in our life, and no matter what it looks like, because it's him, it's marvelous. Because he is simply marvelous. Because he is greater than great. Because he is God. And because God has a plan, and the kingdom is his, and so the plan is his. I love it when we say our prayers, and when Christ told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is your kingdom. It's not ours. We don't know how to establish it. But as the author says, our great commander organizes every campaign, and his generals and officers do not always know the great plan. They often receive sealed orders, and they have to wait for him to reveal their content. God in heaven has wishes and a will in regard to any work that ought to be done and to the way in which it has to be done. And so he alone understands the preparation that needs to be done. But he has entrusted that to those in the church, which is why there was a group that Holy Spirit spoke to, and he told them what to do to prepare those two to be used by him in their new orders. And so we have to make sure that we are humble in a way of obedience to orders without always questioning them or thinking because they don't look like we think they should look, that maybe that's not the right thing. But he says, try the Spirit by the Spirit, and know the voice of the Spirit. That's why in the chapter before, the voice of the Spirit is love, and it's the way God has defined love, not the world. And so as we get these promises and these truths out of Scripture, they are going to lead us to what this love language should look like, and as a result, how we should then respond to those that you will know them by their love. And so God has a plan for the kingdom. The author shares in the separating unto God into five parts. One, that God has a plan. God reveals his will. And who he reveals his will to is to his servant, to those who are close to him through the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit still in our time teaches people. Thank God in our ministries that they can go out and they're guided by the Spirit is known, but we are all ready to think and to confess he is too little known. We have not learned to wait upon him enough. So we should make a solemn declaration before God. Oh, God, we need to wait more for you to show us your will. That's Holy Spirit, to wait and to wait in silence, to wait without putting your hand upon, as he says in the section before, don't put your hand, be afraid of touching the ark of God, except as we are led by Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has had that work given to him to be under his control, the work to which I have called them. And so it says, may God therefore help us all to be afraid of touching the ark of God, of touching the work that the Holy Spirit is putting forth in our church through our leaders. And when he gives those that he has given the assignment to lead us, when he gives them the plan and the vision, we need to be careful. And it says, be afraid of touching that process or that process of those orders of that require our obedience. And the way we touch them is by putting our mouth on them or against them or questioning them or just flat out saying it is not God, when we are not the ones to be to measure that. And when we measure, we must measure against the word of God and the truth of God, and always looking at the love that is whole purpose is to bring glory to God. And just because we know how to do it one way doesn't mean that's the only way to bring glory to God, but rather that there are many ways and there are many places that God is going to get the glory out. And it's not that we may know them all, but we will know the ones that have been assigned for us to know. And so we should know where our place is in the army, in the plan, in the campaign of generals and officers. So I'm enjoying reading this bringing forth of these two that have been separated unto the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't that the other ones didn't know Holy Spirit. They did, because they were praying and fasting. But there were those that are chosen. And I think that as we go forth in this absolute surrender, we understand it's not about what we know. It's about the voice that we know. And we really must know the voice of Holy Spirit. We have to become so familiar, and it's more than a familiarity, because it's the relationship that we are seeking to develop, because God will reveal his will to those who knows the voice, whose heart has been surrendered and has received the love that God pours in. And that love is non-judgmental. It's not divided. It is not timid, but it is trusting. And again, we are looking at every time the author shares about the heart, it brings us to understand how important it is for us to search our heart based on the word of God and the fruit that has been produced, not according to our standard, but according to God's standard. One of the things that the power of the Holy Spirit is seen in the changing of our inner and personal life is we have learned to obey and honor God, not just obey what he says, but honor him loyally in little things and in daily life. So there's so many things that we just don't include God in because we think it's not important. It's a small thing. It's a small matter. But he is saying every day when you wake up, Lord, why is that cloud there? I see you made it. You know, what is it you're trying to do? Everything. And as we acknowledge him, he says, and, you know, first they acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He will let you. There's some things he won't even let you say because he knows that would be you putting your word or touching his ark. And he doesn't want us to error like that. So sometimes we want to say it, we fumble over it, we stutter and whatever, and the fact of the matter generally is we shouldn't say it. And because of that, that's a heart that's surrendered to God. That's a heart that's saying, you know what, yes, Lord, I'll be silent. You know, I only say what you tell me to say. And that was one of the third things that comes out of this interaction of Scripture, Does anybody have it out of another version? It's been going on and on. So I want to read it out, hear it out of another version.
That was here. Was that Acts 4, 1 through 4?
That was Acts 13.
Well, see, I had it. I think it was Acts 13.
I didn't hear what.
What's the
Acts 13, 1 through 4? I have it in the answer. I have it in the answer.
Okay.
It's off the screen. And like I said, this is the Amplified. We start off by saying, first missionary journey. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets who spoke a new message of God to the people and teachers. Barnabas Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mananin, who had been brought up with Herod, Antipas, with Tetrarch and Saul. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, who was Paul, for the work which I have called them. Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them in approval and dedication and sent them away on their first journey. And the fourth verse reads, so then being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, where Barnabas and Saul arrived at Salamis, and they began to preach the word of God, proclaiming the message of eternal salvation through faith in Christ in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John Mark as their assistant.
Amen. Amen. So I really hope we can see the structure that Holy Spirit is putting forth. Remember, he is the commander. And so often we want to take that role from him because it doesn't look like it did in the past. Or what's going on or going forth, you know, well, they never did this before, I've never seen it before, da, da, da. But there are things that the world has to start to experience in this age that they haven't experienced before. And God knows this and has a plan. Because remember, the plan is his, and his kingdom will come on earth like it is in heaven. And it's progressive. And so we are hearing this structure that we're being encouraged to follow. And that whole, especially in the Amplified, you know, it really puts forth a actual consecration. They were consecrated. They were ordained. You know, they had the approval. It was all of those acts were being done that we often think, you know, why does it take this and we don't have to do this and da 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 da. And yet, we have to renew our mind. We have to allow the Commander General, Holy Spirit, to renew our mind so that our hearts can become surrendered to God. And I've been going on. The other thing, it was separate unto the Holy Spirit. There are some people that are just like they had monks and different things, and I think that's part of how that came about. You know, there are people that are people of faith, but then there are others that have been elevated to a place that's more than. And so more is required of them. More is a part of what their purpose is on life. There are some that are to be martyrs. You know, there are some that are just to be mothers. You know, and so it's whatever the purpose is, there is a preparation for it. And that preparation and is including everybody because it takes us all to do this. Holy Spirit came to the church and told them that had a heart to hear him, to hear what it is was next to come. He wasn't choosing them to go, okay? He wasn't saying they weren't good enough or you didn't pray hard enough and I chose these two. No, it's just not, it wasn't a part of what the plan of God was. But they were a part. We are a part. And to be a part, we have to have a ear for Holy Spirit. We have to have a place where we have decided, a place and time where we stop. Right here, I stop. There's no more affiliation with the world. I am separating myself unto that inner personal holiness of living that is possible through the power and the graces of God and the Holy Spirit in our life. And because of those things, because of that separation, there is a path that we will have to any questions or comments? Any insights as to reading?
No. I was just going to... Officer?
Yes, sir.
I just, this is Bishop, how you all doing? So I just was going to comment on that last, I'm just going to comment on that last statement you made. And let me be the, let me say the third to tell you that that separation, it is definitely a process. It is a process. It is a shedding.
Yeah,
it is a, it's a shedding. It's a release. It's like standing on that cusp and saying, "You want me to jump? Okay. I don't know if you missed the fact that there are some jagged rocks right here and there. That you want me to jump? Okay. I'll jump, walk, swim, fly, whatever needs to happen at this moment." But that's some good stuff.
Amen. Amen. A testimony from the cut. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I love it. It said there is a great need in every worker. The spirit of the world going out and the spirit of God coming in to take possession of the inner life and of whole being. The inner life and
like
the whole being. There's nothing that's it. World out. God in, come to a point, okay,
case closed,
you got to go. Case closed, that's it. You've been evicted, world out in any shape, form, or fashion. Anybody else, thank you, Bishop, for that heart.
That's
thing.
No problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the things, the other thing that the author brings, he said all of this is a matter of action. It's not something that you passively sit and go, "Okay, Lord, here I am." No, this is getting up, moving.
No.
This is doing it.
Exactly.
Oh, teach us new things by your grace. Teach us new things by your grace. It is wonderful power that prayer is meant to have in the kingdom. We have so little availing it to ourselves, but it requires action. A holy partnership with Holy Spirit in this work becomes a matter of consciousness and of action. They went out. It says, at some point it says, after their ordination, they went out. The Holy Spirit in heaven doing part of the work, man on earth doing the other part. After the ordination of the men on earth, it is written in God's inspired word that they went forth by Holy Spirit. So I just love it. I love it how it brings comfort and direction. Praise the Lord. So any more questions? Insight. Yes.
So it reminds me Sunday when Apostle preached on Pursue, but and I just picked up a card, the index card, and I've had dated it. I used to journal a lot, and so journaling now, and I found something that said it was dated in February 1609, but I had drew a boat, and it says, "God is with you, launch into the deep." But on the other side of the index card, it said, "Action, preparation, walk by faith, not by sight. God has always supplied for every need. But I thought about what Apostle said on Sunday in her sermon. It was about pursue, you know.
Yeah.
And it just, we can't get comfortable in where we're at. We have to walk in God's purpose and God's plan for our lives. And it's not going to look, and we're talking about the fasting and praying, it's not going to look like we think it should look. And
right.
as we trust God, as we wait on him, as we hear from him, as we seek him, he will give us what we need in this season of our life. And it's like the Holy Spirit really does lead God and direct us in all truth. And as we trust him, we won't continue in our way, but everything that we do will be God's way. And it just, oh, my God, this, I love this absolute surrender. Whoever thought of it, you know, the book, too, it seems so simple. It's a small book, but it speaks volume. And I just thank God
Amen.
For us going through this, because it's what I know me and my family needed. So thank you all.
Amen, amen.
I thought it was interesting because as I was listening to the scripture, I'm not a particular fan of this personal book. as I was listening to the scripture, I realized I don't know how they felt being separated. So like we, even as Overseer was reading, we hear that this, you know, great,
it's not talking.
Okay, so we hear this as this great honor as the Lord would say, go and separate them unto the work of this great ministry. And yet, when I heard that, I just began to cringe. It just wasn't enough to do. It wasn't enough to follow the Lord. Then, you know, you mess around and you be obedient, and then the Lord wants to do another cutting. But, oh, wow, okay, let me cut again and separate you from the separated. Because those apostles and prophets, they were already called out. They were already a separated group, okay? And so then he says, let me separate you from the separated because I got something else I want you to do. And so I just thought it was so interesting that in this whole concept of absolute surrender, the process can take you to a place that you could almost deem as a punishment, and yet it's God's reward and assignment for who he is on you and for the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. So I just thought that concept, or at least the way Overseer was reading it and presenting it, and just kind of extracting it out of scripture and out of the book was very interesting. You know, I wondered how the two of them felt getting the notice that now you're being separated again. It's another work that the Holy Spirit is equipping you to do. And so I'm just like, you said it, I need to separate you from the separated. I need to put you in I'm calling it a place of isolation, but it's probably a place of insulation, you know, in terms of now I need you to go, I'm pulling you out, and I need you to go do this. And while I may have been your source in the past, being the Holy Spirit, I'm your source, I'm your resource, I'm your only compass, I am it. And while we live for him to be it, him being it for real, is a whole different thing.
And, you know, as Apostle was speaking, I was thinking of Paul. I was thinking of Saul. And I think it's interesting because he called him Saul. And I believe his name has been changed to Paul. However, Holy Spirit wanted them to know, I'm calling the man that persecuted me. I'm calling the man that killed some of y'all. Put y'all in jail. I am calling that man because God's plan
is just not going to fit in our mind, and we can't see it. You guys have been faithful from the beginning, and you've always followed me at harm, even if it meant harm to you and your family. But now I'm calling out the one who was the harm, the one who was harming you and your family. And you have to have a peace in this, a passion for this, because it's my will. And so it tries the very hearts of all men, because God knows what's in our heart. He knows the journey we've come through. So sometimes we have to be exposed to the victim being successful. You know, Jonah, he just didn't, it's not right. Why should these people be saved? They need to all go to hell because they're wrong and they're bad. Why you want me to go and tell them to do the right thing? Because then you're going to turn around and you're going to bless them. Okay, so Jonah's heart needed to be fixed as well as theirs. And so there's so many perspectives that God has total control over in order to bring us to perfection. And so as Pastor was speaking, my thought was, how humbling that had to be for him, that God would yet still want me and then want me to be close to him, close to Holy Spirit. So that is such a joy of the journey. It is such a humbling, that's redemption. That's what being redeemed means. What I've done no longer is against me. And in every way he's shown us this, he don't go back on his word. He don't go back on his love. He doesn't, pay tit for tat. I mean, he is a holy, loving God that has a purpose that brings glory to him and it brings humility and gratefulness to those that are a recipient of his love and his grace. And so just the position that each one has, and, you know, let's be for real, the realness of emotions, whether they're good or bad or whatever, they're real. But God deals with them in a way that will perfect us. And then there becomes this blessing that we receive because of the Spirit-led life. It says, you know the story. And the final thought that the author is giving in this section of separated unto the Holy Spirit is what a wonderful blessing comes when Holy Spirit is allowed to lead and to direct the work, and then it is carried on in obedience to him. And in obedience with joy. It says, the blessings that rest on that little company of men and on their ministry unto the Lord. It just makes it just, I'm going to say, not wallowing, but being submerged or emerged just in the perfecting hand of God on their life. And so it ends up with this prayer, God, forgive me that I have not honored Holy Spirit as I should, that I have grieved him, that I have allowed self, flesh, and my own will to work where Holy Spirit should have been honored. Not just working, but honored, acknowledged, obeyed. My God, forgive me that I have allowed self, flesh, and the will to actually have the place that God wanted the Holy Spirit to have.
Yes.
Oh, that sin is no greater than we. Oh, this sin is greater than we know. No wonder there is so much feebleness and failure in the church of Christ, because we have not allowed him to have that place of honor. Holy Spirit, because it has been given him. So any more insight, inspiration from the individuals on the line? Praise the Lord. Any revelation you received as you were reading?
Oh, Minister Paulette, I was reading on page 56, and it came to my mind about, you know, when the apostle speaks about grace. At the very bottom of that page, it says there's a difference between the power of the Spirit as a gift and the power of the Spirit for the grace of a holy life. A man may often have a measure of the power of the Spirit, but if there is not a large measure of the Spirit as the Spirit of grace and holiness, the defect will be evident in his work. He may be the means of conversion, but he will never help people on to a higher standard of spiritual life. When he passes away, a great deal of his work may pass away too. But a man who is separated unto the Holy Spirit is a man who is given up to say, Father, let the Holy Spirit have full dominion over me, in my home and my temperament, in every word of my tongue, in every thought of my heart, in every feeling toward my fellow men. Let the Holy Spirit have entire possession. And the thought came to me when Apostle, sometimes she asks us, I may not quote it directly, but who is Lord over your life, or is Christ your Lord? You know, does he have full, is he truly your Lord? So stood out to me. That paragraph really stood out.
Amen. Anybody else? I know that for some, you know, and I've listened to that the public domain Liberus elder that you shared with us, and so I understand some of the pitfalls of that for some of our listeners, and we'll talk about that. But we do want to, as when Elder Roberta was sharing, you know, it's on page 56, and we can turn our pages to page 56, but it's difficult if you just getting it on the voice rendition of it. And so I do want to try to establish the fact that we do understand, and that we can we'll have to come up with a way to make it clearer for those who are just hearing it and not literally reading the book, but they're listening to it on Audible. I do believe that each one of the Audible sections is a chapter, and so it doesn't say that. So I do want to announce the fact that the next section we're reading is going to be Peter's repentance. And so it doesn't often say this is chapter 4, or, you know, but if you hear Peter's repentance, then that is the that's where we're going to be next week in our book. So
overseer,
anybody else? Yes.
Do that mean that you're going to chapter 4? Is that what? Because when Minister Hearns and I do it, we're doing it by the chapters. Is that chapter 4, Peter's repentance?
Yes, that's the Peter's repentance. That's the next chapter. We just left chapter 3.
Okay,
so we're doing
thank
chapter
you.
4. Sure. And each chapter is divided into sections. So just like this last one, he had 5 points that he wanted to present. And each one of these points, he did it in a section of that chapter. And so even if when we're talking, as opposed to saying it's on page, like say she said, page 56, but it's under the section of separated unto Holy Spirit. And that kind of gives a lead in so that they can kind of focus on, okay, I remember in that section, they talked about X, Y, and Z. And so that gives them just a better way of following along with us. And so we're going to try to come up with a system that is even more effective for them. Amen. Any more questions, comments, insight, inspiration, revelation?
No.
Apostle said no. She's done. Bishop? No, see, no, you're done. Okay.
No, I'm good. No, I'm good.
No, you're done.
I'm good. No, it was so good. I mean, it was just so good. And I was just circling the area in Virginia. And so I just, you know, had to stop, take a moment and breathe. And then I put it on the Blog Talk. And it just made sense. It just really made sense. It was like, okay, all is well.
Amen.
I'm good.
Amen. You know, I just want us to praise God for just thanking him that he does know where we are. He knows what he's giving us, and he knows what we need to be successful in it, to grow and to mature. And he has so got his hand in our life, no matter where we are. That's the part I love. We don't have to be all sitting in church on Sunday. No matter where we are, no matter when it is, he connects us the way he needs us to be connected. So I just thank God for him, for it, for you. I thank God for the opportunity to just share in our Friday Fellowship of Learners. So I thank you all for your commitment, for your time, and for your insight and revelation and information. It is a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen. So if there be nothing else, enjoy this.
Amen.
Nice. Amen. This nice Chicago weather. We got 70 almost yesterday, and today it may be downcast, but I think they say it's nice out. So let us enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit. Let us put him on the throne where he should be, so that our lives,
amen,
our inner lives, can be holy and pure unto God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.